And why do we believe
we're
that
back,
Iran?
We're back. All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Our phone lines are open. You know, Sandy Williams is still here. And so here's where, before we change the subject, Sam, we got somebody on the line? Okay, all right. So Sandy, what do you want to say before we change the subject?
Well, I think that what America has to do far more carefully is figure out how we decide who our enemies are, whether we have enemies and who they are, because that decision is so fundamentally important to what then happens thereafter. Anyone who we decide is our enemy, immediately they must decide we are their enemy, and we create a whole different pathway of negotiations. We create a whole different pathway of assumptions about how the other party is going to act or how they might act. We create a bunch of assumptions that require that we spend a great deal of money on military expenditures because enemies ultimately might war with one another. And so I think we ought to start unbundling very quickly this question of why is China our enemy? And the people ought to ask this question, because do we think China is going to, what, physically invade the United States? No, obviously, no one ever thinks of that. And I think when you get all the way down to unbundling it, what we're worried about with China is that they might become economically in the world more dominant than the United States because of the extent of their world trade and the extent of their world production. Is that something that means that they are our enemy? Or is that something that means that they are our very capable competitor? Does that mean that they're somebody that we ought to be working out a great deal of comedy with so that we can have very successful commercial relations with? Do we think that each of the countries in Europe thinks that we are their enemy because we are so economically dominant to them? Does Norway think United States is their enemy because we are economically huge and they are economically small? No. And we have to get over this notion that the United States has to be economically dominant, and anyone that threatens to become economically dominant is in fact the enemy of the United States. If we eliminate economic dominance from the consideration of China, I'm now then much more interested in finding out why else we think China is the enemy.
But Sandy, that's inevitable that China is going to eventually become that, right? I mean, when you look at the amount of people they have and the sheer size of the power that they're going to have, that's going to happen inevitably. I mean, there's no way to stop them from ascending to that position at some point in time.
I know, but people who have power are really reluctant to let go of it. Right here in the United States, we know it's inevitable that at some point in the not too distant future, being white will be a minority race in the United States. But are the people who are white giving up whatever power they feel they might have because of their race very easily?
No, they're tightening up. They're making it even more.
Yes. Yes. So, I mean, you know, the reaction to losing a position of dominance is, at least for those who are in control and dominant, something that is given up with a death grip. And so we just should be smarter than that. We should realize that the United States can thrive, absolutely thrive. We can be the most prosperous country in the world without being the economically dominant country in the world. We are not the most prosperous country in the world right now. I think Norway is the most prosperous country in the world. So what are we worried about?
You know, I wanted to talk a little bit, Sandy, about Jitaki Brown Jackson and the fact that the debates are starting now today on whether or not she should, whether or not she should become a Supreme Court justice. And, you know, it's going to get ugly. And I keep hearing people saying on the right that Joe Biden is engaged in, you know, discrimination because he stated that it had to be a black person and it had to be a black woman, and therefore that's discriminatory. When you hear people use that as a measuring stick for why this woman should not become the next Supreme Court justice. Republicans always go back to Clarence Thomas. And man, how soon they forget. You know, Clarence Thomas was wound up in that position because then the first black Supreme Court justice, Thurgood Marshall, died. And the Republicans clearly use affirmative action to put Clarence Thomas, nominate him, and to put him in that seat because they wanted to clearly replace the first black Supreme Court justice with a black Supreme Court with a black man. And so, you know, I don't understand how they can say and do that, but then in this instance, all of a sudden they rally many whites and say, well, this is not right. What has happened here is a calumny. It should have never happened. The fact that they're allowing this to occur is injustice towards white people. I mean, Sandy, help me understand. This woman is more than qualified. And they didn't just go pick any bump on the log. You know, she's been approved every time she's come up before Congress. So why now?
Well, we'll see. I mean, Mitch McConnell today has sort of outlined the case they might make against her. I think they're going to very carefully try not to talk about this predisposition towards a black woman, and they're going to try and come up with issues. I think the main issue they're coming up with is sex offenders and how she dealt with the issue of sex offenders as she was a judge. They're going back to an article she wrote when she was a law student at Harvard, in which she drew the question of whether the sex offender registration laws were unconstitutional, which is the kind of thing that law students are asked to do, to ask difficult questions and write about them. So I think it's going to be a silly process. I think that they're going to try and come up with issues that resonate with the public, that scare the public about what kind of a judge she'll be. And quite frankly, I think she's going to get it confirmed. I think the Republicans want nothing more than to try and air some dirty laundry, find some dirty laundry and air it. And it'll probably be intellectual dirty laundry because I don't think they have anything else to talk about.
Well, after said and done, you know, there's no way they can prevent her from taking the seat. There's nothing they can do. You know, filibuster won't come into play in this situation. Right. So she's going to wind up in the seat anyway. We'll just, I'm not going to hold my breath, and I'm not going to be, you know, wasting a lot of time with it. She's going to ascend to that seat in, you know, after all these years, she's a woman who is more than qualified, and she'll ascend to that seat of power. We've got to go to a break, and when we come back, got some other things I want to talk about, Sandy. Especially one with, why are we still struggling with nursing homes? Why is it that in this nation, when people age who've helped build our country, why is it that we don't look out for them, Sandy? Why is it that we warehouse them and don't fight for what's right for them and their families? I want to talk with you about it after the break. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.
A rubber band man, just a rubber band.